His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag. Bring.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and know of as the Mighty Black Power Radio, the official broadcast of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We want to welcome you. We open this broadcast in a righteous way, giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers, the God of our ancestors that answers to many different names. And we speak many different languages, but regardless to land, label, or language, we bear witness that there is only one God. And we give thanks to that one God for all of his many messengers and messiahs, warners and apostles, those who have come to guide the black man and black woman and the original people back to the right path. And we're thankful for all of those who have been chosen to be freedom fighters throughout the annals of history. We're talking about the greats like Buchmann, talking about the greats like Dessalines. We're talking about Toussaint Louverture. We're talking about that great Reverend Nat Turner. We're also talking about the great thinkers and the great freedom fighters like Ida B. Wells. We're talking about Queen Harriet Tubman. We're talking about Queen Mother Moore. We're talking about Yah Asantewa. We're talking about Queen Hatshepsut and Queen Nzinga. We're talking about all of those who were chosen from the wombs of their mothers and from the loins of their fathers to be great men and women. The Booker T. Washingtons and all of them, Frederick Douglass, all of them. And if we live to be the ripe old age of Methuselah, which was 969 years of age, we can never thank that beautiful black God enough for sending us the great freedom fighters in the spirit of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the great prophet Noble Drew Ali, the messenger of Allah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, for raising up Minister Malcolm X, for raising up Minister Louis Farrakhan, for raising up the Nation of Islam. We can never thank God enough for the inspiration that foundation laid and made and raised up and produced the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, as they considered themselves the spiritual and the ideological sons and daughters of Minister Malcolm X. And it was a bold black man who had been trained out of the Panther Regiment out of Lowndes County, Alabama, who had been trained, two bold black men who took the idea from a man named Mark Comfort. Mark Comfort took the idea up into the Bay Area, and those brothers and sisters, understanding the revolutionary spirit and organization of the Panther, knowing that it came from Africa itself, and it's been in our tradition, in our history, ever since we've been on the planet, and ever since oppression has existed, there's always been a panther or a panther formation to tackle and attack the oppression that is in the face and in the minds and the hearts and in the way of our people. And so two bold black men stood up out of Oakland, California, in that same tradition of Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, Bobby Mukasa Ricks, Dada, Bob Brown, and those brothers and sisters in Lowndes County coming up out of the SNCC organization. They formed that Black Panther Party. Then you had another Black Panther Party that formed in the North called the Northern California chapter of the Black Panther Party. And ultimately you had a more rugged Black Panther Party that formed that was just strictly for what they call the lumpin' or the lumpin' proletariat, the brothers and sisters straight off of the streets. And these young men and women, first starting with the blue jean jacket, came into leather jackets and wanted to attract black men and black women right on the corner, wanted to attract the pimp, wanted to attract the hustler, wanted to attract the wino, wanted to attract the loan shark, wanted to attract the so-called thug, the gangster. These black men and women wanted to organize the have-nots, and they became known as the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense out of Oakland, California in 1966. But an old devil, an old cross-dressing homosexual devil faggot by the name of J. Edgar Hoover, said that his aim with the program called COINTELPRO, Counterintelligence Program. He said his purpose, he wanted to stop the rise of a black messiah. And so he moved on the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And he moved on the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He moved and the Nation of Islam and moved on the Black Panther Party. And he moved on RAM and he moved on CORE and he moved on all of the black organizations that were fighting at that time, till ultimately many of them were either locked up and assassinated, dead, killed, or they had been forced underground. But even being forced underground, brothers and sisters still organized in what you call the Black Liberation Army, still in the spirit of that panther. And in 1989, there was a spirit that moved amongst the people after Reaganomics decimated our community. Crack cocaine and drugs decimated our community. And the United States government and Ronald Reagan and those that were in that position turned the other way and allowed the Iran and Contra situation and scandal to pipeline dope in our community and arms in our community. It was too brothers and some brothers and some sisters that rose up out of Dallas, Texas in 1989 and said that we're in a worse condition than we ever have been, that we've lost 2.5 to 3 generations now, that we've lost some generations in right then in 89, that we must be saved. And so as Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton was assassinated and killed in 1989, I believe in August of 1989, these young brothers, these bold brothers and sisters, stood up and said, we're going to reform the Black Panther Party. But this time, it would be a Black Panther Party that would be more quicker, more slicker, more bold, and more militant. You got to learn from the past and learn from the history. And some brothers took those brothers to court and didn't want them to use the name Black Panther Party. And so, really, by default, but with a whole lot of meaning that we'll talk about in another show, it became the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. By 1998, a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who used to be the supreme captain of the Nation of Islam, used to be the national spokesman of the Nation of Islam, used to be the national assistant of the Nation of Islam, had fulfilled every major post in the Nation of Islam, from minister, captain, to lieutenant. He had served all of that. And then even before some of that, when the Nation of Islam had failed and had fallen due in part to COINTELPRO and because of the departure of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad from that scene, he went off into the jungles with a man whom the white man feared and said he was eating crackers alive. I'm talking about Idi Amin. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad is his name. He was working in Idi Amin's military and was a lieutenant and a warrior in that military, that army, and said he was going to fight the cracker with armed struggle. And when he heard that the national spokesman and representative of the Nation of Islam was rebuilding that movement and that organization, he came back to the States and helped him work and ultimately helped him to build up the Nation of Islam as you see it and as it's known. And then by God's divine hand, we look at and say today, by God's own divine ordinance, he was pushed out by some force and kicked out by some force. And so he gave a speech at King College in Union, New Jersey. Gave a speech that forced him out of the Nation of Islam due to political circumstance. And he was out here until a group that we talked about, the New Black Panther Party, were able to come around him and secure him. And he became our chairman officially in 1998 and then until 2001. And so he built the New Black Panther Party and spread it all across the globe. And anybody who considers themselves a panther under this regimen, you got to give a beautiful black hand and a black power salute with a mighty clenched black fist to that black power general. That beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who was uncompromising and unrelenting with the enemy, who said his purpose was to give this white man hell from the cradle to the grave. His name, never forget it, is the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And he had built one and trained many. He built one and trained many to hold the line. And if you listen to his speeches and hear him talk, and those who are around him and those who have talked to him personally, you would hear him talk about hold the line. And so he put that spirit in us, and he put that spirit in many who were around him, but he fashioned some that were able to stand and withstand the pressure of his departure and his death. And that one that we're talking about now stands as the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party. And he is one who has had a record of an uncompromising, bold career as an activist, starting from Howard University. He started as a bold activist with an organization right off of the college campus called Unity Nation. And from Unity Nation, he moved forward, still moving right along with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, being trained, being taught since the late 80s. Ultimately, earning his law degree, having a law practice, and being a double threat and a triple threat in many ways. Being a man that is a spiritual man and a political man, but also being a man that is a law man and a man that knows the book, the same way that Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton took that law book and whipped the pigs behind, and will be able to quote fish and game laws and city codes and statutes and tie the hog up and make the hog scream and snort and snout until the pig couldn't even move. And they would ask Huey P. Newton, is your gun loaded? And he would click his legally and say, it is now, in self-defense, if you try to attack me. It's one on the scene today that has that same spirit, who is an attorney at law, who not only is in the courtroom, but he's in the brick room, he's in the streets, he's on the concrete jungle. He's in the concrete jungle. Man affectionately known as the attorney at war. A brother who stands about 6'5", 6'6", and he's looking down on his enemy. And the God had already promised that all of our enemies would be our footstool. I'm talking about our national chairman, who serves now pridefully, and thankfully as the longest standing Panther chairman of any regiment, our national chairman, the man who I'm proud to represent to you on a daily and consistent basis, that's Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black power to you, sir. And I'm your host tonight. I am your host, your brother, the national spokesman of the new Black Panther Party, Sean Saddam Kweli. Listen, it is a red alert. We're calling a Black Power alert to all of our people, all of our listeners, all throughout 196,940,000 square miles. There's a Black Power alert. As we now delve into the case, fresh off of the case of Trayvon Martin. And we want to talk about Trayvon Martin tonight. We're going to have on with us a brother who is deeply intertwined in both of those cases. You saw him on the newscast with Anderson Cooper, and he was trading shots with Anderson Cooper. But we don't want to just stop there. This black man has been moving on a daily and consistent basis to not only secure justice in the case of Trayvon Martin, but he's also moving now to secure justice in the case of a young brother, our young brother who was killed simply for, they say, having his music up too loud. I know some of you have heard about this. You may have heard about this, and some of you may have not heard about this. The young man's name is Jordan Russell Davis. Jordan Russell Davis killed simply for sitting in a gas station, presumably getting gas or getting snacks or whatever he was doing, minding his business. And the white man, the devil, came right along and demanded he turn his music down in that old arrogant fashion. And they say some words exchanged and some gunfire erupted and about eight to nine shots aimed at young Jordan Russell Davis, who is now a corpse, deceased in the morgue. He's dead. Probably by now, Barry, dead. Young Jordan Russell Davis, 17 years old. That's fresh off of Trayvon Martin. Right there in the slimy, nasty, slick, prejudiced, racist state of Florida. That's what I said. Old racist, slimy, slick, prejudiced state of Florida, right off of Trayvon Martin. This beast, Michael David Dunn, shot and killed a young man whose future is bright, Jordan Russell Davis, simply because he said his music was too loud. And if that's not enough for you, we're going to also get off into and get right into a situation that just sprung up a few short days ago in East Cleveland, where the community, the black community in specific, is outraged, angry, after a shooting took place between the East Cleveland police and some unarmed couple, and no less than 13 police officers. And I want to say that again, no less than 13 police officers shot 137 bullets into a car after a so-called high-speed chase, killing the man and the woman. And then, as they always say, they believe, as just as they said in the case of Jordan Russell Davis, they believe that he's armed, and they believe that they was armed. But then after the investigation, ain't no damn armed. It's open season on the black man and black woman. Open season on the black man and black woman. They say that you had something and you didn't have something. In the case of this East Cleveland situation, they say that the Bureau of Criminal Investigation has been assigned to investigate the shooting in order to determine what happened. But the community is looking for answers. And the officers say that they heard a gunshot outside their station, which led to the chase. It says that the two were 43-year-old Timothy Russell and 30-year-old Melissa Williams, or Melissa Williams. A total of 60 people came together. They protested, and they called flat out the incident a lynching. The chase went through several communities before ending with gunfire. And the local East Cleveland Police Department is having trouble coming up with some answers. In addition, as I told you, there's no gun at all found on the scene, not even shell casings, to indicate or to even suggest that the two were firing anything at anybody. The mayor there, Frank Jackson, said he's going to conduct a thorough investigation of the matter, and he said that he would support the officers, but only if they were, quote-unquote, inside the box. And by the box, he was referring to the rules and regulations of police work. We're going to talk about what the box really means. But if they go outside of the box, he said, there'll be consequences, he says, in his news conference. And then to make the matters worse, 12 out of the 13 officers who did the shooting on that young unarmed couple in East Cleveland, they were white. 12 out of 13 white, and one Hispanic on two unarmed, on just an unarmed couple. Y'all got to bear with me as we move through this, as we move through 137 bullets into an unarmed couple in East Cleveland. 137 fired by 12 white folks. Got to make it plain. 12 of them and one Hispanic. And so it's open season on black people. Now, I want to also remind you of an earlier case many of you may have forgot about, Tamon Robinson, 27 years old. This was last April. And he was fatally struck by a police car. They say that he was caught stealing paving stones from a housing project in Brooklyn and attempted to flee from the scene when the incident occurred. In the New York Police Department's initial report, they claimed there were no witnesses at the time of the tragedy. But the Brooklyn District Attorney, Charles Hines, had his doubts. And Hines wanted to hire an independent expert to investigate Mr. Robinson's death after interviewing multiple people who witnessed his death, according to NYDailyNews.com. An independent accident reconstruction expert is expected to examine other possible inconsistencies, such as whether the sizable dent in the squad car is consistent with the police report account that Robinson struck a parked vehicle. Results from the expert report will help to determine whether the DA pursues a case against the NYPD and the officers driving the death car. They say, we have spoken to all of the witnesses, and we believe we need an outside accident reconstruction expert, which we are in the process of doing, said one of the spokesmen. One of the witnesses said from her third floor window, she told the DA what she saw and heard. She said, I heard the cops say over their loudspeaker, stop effing running. And that made me jump to the window. The cop car sped up and hit him. She say, I screamed. He went up in the air. And Kelly and her testimony will be crucial, they say, in the wrongful death suit filed by his mother and filed against the city. What am I saying here, black man and black woman? What I'm saying is we open up and bring on our guests for tonight. I'm saying that there are countless incidences that are going on all around the world all the time, but more in specific, right here in America, right here happening all the time, that go unreported, and some do get reported. But the bottom line is, what normally is the outcome? Our people shot down, like in the case of Trayvon Martin, shot down, like in the case of Brother Jordan Davis, shot down, killed, dead, no longer able to breathe, eat, get up and eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, any of that, go to school, do anything that they say you're supposed to do. But the way that the system works and the way that the system has been working, the way that this white man has organized this thing against us, they are always now siding on the side of their executing force, the police officers. Doesn't matter what it is. When you take it back to Oscar Grant, even in a situation like Oscar Grant, they gave that demon a slap on the wrist, and he worked his way on about that situation, worked trying to get his job back and all kind of stuff. There's no value on black life. What happened to the value on black life? Did America ever have value for black life? And if America had value, what is the value? What is the black worth in America? If it's nothing, why are we putting so much stock in America? Why are we putting so much of our time in America? Why are we putting so much of our life force in America if the black life, male and female, has no value? These are questions that we want to ask tonight. Why have we not heeded the call of our ancestors, of our messengers, of our warners, of our guides, those who have come and gave us many good words of encouragement? Why have we not taken their advice, those of us, those who told us to separate, those who told us, like Minister Malcolm X and Marcus Mosiah Garvey and Elijah Muhammad and so many others, who said, prepare and get a nation of your own? Why have we not, in the face of all that is happening, if we're not prepared to separate, carved out some of this good earth to call our own? We got to talk about this, and this is serious business, because as this increases, this is happening in the cold months. This is happening during December and during November and during October, these cold months, and most of this cold happening when there's not supposed to be a lot of activity. But so you can imagine what's coming in the springtime. You can imagine what's coming in your summertime and fall time. And they're using, in the case of Florida, they're using stand your ground as the excuse. This stand your ground, this stand your ground law that was pushed by white gun lobbyists, pushed it through so that they could protect themselves from some niggas. That's what it is. They pushed it through, and now it's being used as an execution tool against our youth. Michael David Dunn shot and killed Jordan Davis, 17 years old, just sitting in his SUV. And it was Dunn who came up to him and demanded he turn his music down. They don't even talk about if Dunn had his music on. I doubt very seriously that Michael Dunn was riding just in a quiet car listening to the birds chirp. I'm sure he had his music on. But he come up to the young black male at a gas station and demanded, in traditional, arrogant, white, racist fashion, that Jordan Davis cut his music down. And if he don't cut his music down, I'm firing bullets at you. 8 to 9 bullets fired with civilians and everybody, innocent bystanders, right there in the gas station, not to mention the gas pump itself. And Jordan Davis catches two of the bullets, and he's a dead man. I want you all to think about this. His attorney claimed it was self-defense. That's what the Beast attorney say. The Beast attorney say it was self-defense. Hell, his father, which Brother Mikhail Muhammad going to talk about because he's had communication with the father. The father's name is Ron Davis. And Ron Davis say that his son died in the arms of one of his friends. No gun in the vehicle at all. None of them armed. And they have to watch their friend, 17 years old, die, holding their buddy who they were just jamming to some tunes to. You know how we do. We like to rock. We are a people of rhythm, a people of soul, a people of spirit. We love the sound of the drum. We love it. And they watched their friend die. And one of them were holding him in their arms as he passed away. And they're using the stand your ground law. And this devil is using the stand your ground law to justify the killing once again of another one of our young black males. Every 32 to 36 hours in America, a young black male, a life is taken at the hands of one of these vigilantes of so-called law enforcement. Let's go to the phone lines right now. As this is an open discussion, but I had to lay the base. The number is 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447 to take your calls. We're talking about 136 bullets into an unarmed black couple. It's a black power alert. Let me go to area code 347-272. 347-272. You're on live right now with your host, Sean Kwali, and Black Power Radio. Talk to us. What do you think about it, Black Power?
Black Power to all my brothers Black and sisters Power. And my comrades. Black Power to you, my beloved national spokesman. I'd like to Black give Power. A big shout out to our warrior, general, and national chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz. Brother, with my thoughts and my opinion and my position on what is happening to us and what happened to that couple in Cleveland, it is egregious. These devils here in the hells of North America, they never had no love for us. They have a supreme fear and jealousy of us. They want to be like us. This is why they go to the tanning beds. You know, this is why they do so many other things as they try to deny who we are. We know that we are at war, but I want to speak about the solutions. And the solutions is what we at the new Black Panther Party are doing to organize, to get our brothers together, to stand together collectively and in solidarity and fight back, in the words of Malcolm X, by any and all means necessary. We must organize. We must reach out to our brothers and sisters. We must learn to love each other and work together and put aside our petty differences. And as you like to always say, national spokesman, because that same dog that's trying to bite me, it's trying to bite us all. We got to pool our resources to fight back, brother.
This is, brothers and sisters, for those of you who don't know, the voice that you're listening to is Brother Frank Shaw, Brother Shaw, out of Queens, New York. He works out of our Ministry of Community Programs and Activism, acting director over our program. And Brother Frank, let me ask you, sir, what comes to your mind? What do you think immediately when you hear about a case like a Jordan Russell Davis shot down, 17 years old, because his music was playing too loud, they say, or 137 bullets fired at a black couple by 12 white police officers and one Hispanic? What do you think about that?
Well, I see pictures of history, brother, and to me it's just nothing but modern day lynching. The word picnic comes from when they used to lynch us and burn us. You know, any excuse would do, any lie would do to justify the wickedness that they do to us. So I hate to say it, it's nothing new. It's an egregious crime. My heart goes out to the families. My heart goes out to all my black brothers and sisters everywhere. But once again, we must stand together and organize and fight back, brother.
What is it that causes such a lack of respect for the black life? Why do you think that there's so low respect for the black life, because the argument is that this wouldn't happen in any other community. Why are we so disrespected?
Well, I see some of these crackers, man, treating the animals better than they treat us. It's oppressing. You know, they're afraid of us, so they want to do everything they can to keep us down and demonize us. That's what they have done. They have demonized us. They have made us look out to be the bad guys. They have called us the criminals when they're the criminals. So that's the lack of respect. It's because of their hate and their fear of the righteous man.
What is it that you think that we should do in this hour? Because this situation is increasing all around the country. Do you think that we should do as the United States Constitution declares and form well-regulated militias? What do you think is our answer to this hour?
Well, yes, sir. That is our Second Amendment right, to form well-regulated militias. Everybody that does not have a felony, I would advise you to get out there and get your gun permit, get your legal shotguns, buy legal pistols, arm yourselves in case we have to go to war, be prepared, learn how to do different things with other type of armaments. I'm not going to get into that right now. It is our right, and until we can have a land of our own, we got to work with the system the way it is. But once again, we must organize and stand in solidarity.
What is the sentiment there on the ground? I know that you're in Queens, New York, and I know that there's been a big to-do and much fuss about stop and frisk and the aggression of the New York Police Department against black and brown and aboriginal people. What is the sentiment there in New York on stop and frisk and the aggression of the police department?
A lot of brothers is frustrated. You know, there is an organization called Stop and Frisk. I'm constantly involved in them. New York State, New York City is basically a police state now because of the so-called 9/11 attacks. They're using those patriotic acts to stop us and to try to label us as terrorists. So we're under siege here, sir. The police is gunning us down. You know, we got to fight back, brother.
Yes, sir. What would you say to those that are a little timid in this hour, those that may not, you know, want to gear up for the fight, or those who may not believe that there's a fight going on? What would you say to them?
Oh, man, you cowards better stand up and fight back, because you'll get your ass beat anyway. If you lay down, the devil going to step there, stand up and kick you. He don't care how much you beg and plead. You're going to get your ass kicked. You need to stand up and fight back for your loved ones, for your kids. Fight back. Organize and fight back, because you will damn sure die if you don't fight back. At least if you fight back, you got a chance of winning. Throw a punch, brothers and sisters. Throw a punch.
Who is it that you're targeting, brother Frank Shaw? I know you work heavily with gangs. I know you work heavily with warring projects and communities. Would you say that there's hope in our young black youth? We're being murdered down, but is there hope for our youth?
Yes, there's plenty of hope. You know, we just got to reach them. I'm targeting the most downtrodden ones, the ones who do not have much hope, and giving them love, making them work together, letting them know that we're not supposed to be out here shooting each other. Yeah, do not give up your guns, but under no circumstances are you supposed to turn them on each other inside your housing projects, in your parks, and shooting down innocent bystanders 4 and 5 years old. No, we can't do that. So we're targeting the downtrodden. We're targeting the homeless. We're trying to create a bum rush. Because unfortunately, a lot of the brothers who have become successful and got their little white picket fence and they got their two cars and everything, the system, they think the system has worked for them because they have been allowed to be a few of the fish that have slipped through the net. So we're targeting the downtrodden, the ones who know they ain't got no place to go but up. And we're trying to help lift them up, brother.
That's what I'm talking about. In closing, because we're going to keep you around for some later questions, but in closing to this first segment, Brother Shaw, what can we do, those that want to develop community programs and those that really want to get active, because there's a lot out here that want to get active and help? What's the first step that you would suggest we take?
I would say get in touch with your local New Black Panther Party chapter. If there's no chapter, take it upon yourself to organize, recruit brothers, spread the message, help and serve your community, get involved, find out the situations, find out the problems, and implement the solutions together.
Thank you so much, Brother Shaw. Hang tight. We'll be pulling you back here later in the show. But as always, you're right on point, and we thank you so much for your analysis, my brother.
Black power, my brother.
Black Power. That's Brother Frank Shaw out of Queens, New York. He's dealing with stop and frisk, and he's dealing with Warren Projects, gang violence, black-on-black violence. He's right in the thick of it, so he knows what he's talking about. This problem that we're going through is a problem that affects us all. It affects us all. What are our solutions? 137 bullets fired at an unarmed black couple. Young Jordan Russell Davis killed, 17 years old, died in the arms of his friend for playing his music too loud. Trayvon Martin rests right now in the ground dead. And George Zimmerman's talking about he's going to sell autographed memorabilia to raise money. He's going to sell an autograph of his own signature like he's a hero after killing our young brother. What are your thoughts about it? Let me go to the next caller. Area code 347-961. 347-961. You're on live with Black Power Radio and your host, Brother Sean Saddam Kweli. Talk to me, Black Power. Area code 347-961. Your mic is open. Talk to us.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yes, my brother. You know,
yes, sir. Welcome.
Yes, brother. And this is the first time I'm tuning in on your program, and I just call basically to so that I could hear what you had to say. And the brothers here in Brooklyn, we're trying to organize and get ourselves in position so that we can make a statement, because we realize with the stop and frisk thing that you mentioned, you know, it's just out of hand. We're also aware of the fact that the Department of Homeland Security has purchased all these rounds of hollow point ammunition for Homeland Security. And as you know, the hollow point ammunition is outlawed in times of war. And I don't know how they can use this hollow point ammunition and for Homeland Security if Homeland Security is supposed to be directed on the inner, you know, the people on inside the country. But this will be us. So basically, I don't really have a question except other than when will you be in this section of you know, over here in New York to come to here, and so we can hear more of your lectures. And that's about all.
Yes, sir, my brother. Thank you so much for your call, and thank you so much for tuning in and being a listener. Your first time listening. I'm on my way to New York. We're working the schedule out right now. So what I can tell you is to stay tuned to Black Power Radio, because I'm going to update you on all my travels and all the travels of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. I'm coming. I'm on my way. Brother Frank Shago, make sure of it. Like I say, Sister Chrissy Payne, Khadija Shakur, Shahid, all of them that's up there in New York, they're going to make sure that I'm coming to New York. It's already on the schedule. We're just trying to get it just right, my brother. And so I will let you know. But stay tuned right here, and I would love to, wherever you're at, whatever barrel you're in, I'd love to come and meet you and talk with you, my brother, and build with you, and hopefully see how you can help this movement and help our people, black man.
Yes, sir. All right, brother. Well, and I'm trying to stay true to my cause, true to my calling. You know, I've been with the party since when I was a young boy, the original Black Panther Party. And,
okay, you are OG.
Yes, I am. I'm 65 years old now, and you know, but I'm looking at the situation and my people and what's going on here, and you know, I mean, I need, you know, to be active. You know, I'm still an activist after all this time, but you know, it seems like people are sleeping. You know, we need all the help to try to wake them up.
Yes, sir. We honor you, black man. We honor you. Anybody who has struggled before us in this time, we honor you. You are a comrade of ours, and of course, you've helped to lay a foundation of struggle and continue a history and tradition of struggle that we're fighting with today. And so what I tell you, brother, is take down this number. Take down 502-299-8530. One more time, 502-299-8530. Text that number, get in touch with that number. That's a national line, and tell them that you want to help, and we want to work with you. We have our brother right there. He's in Kingston, New York, Brother Ishmael Shabazz, who is also a OG member or 66 Formation Panther, who is also a new Black Panther. He is our acting national ambassador between the Black Panther Party and the new Black Panther Party. We also have our brother out of Cleveland, Ohio, Brother Abdul Kahar, who worked the free lunch programs and worked the free clothing drives. And he worked out of Louisville, Kentucky, and worked out of Florida, the Florida area, with the Black Panther Party. So you're not alone, my brother, and you'll be in good company. And as you know, the struggle continues.
Yeah, all right. Just one more time, the number again. I'm not that fast a writer. I was trying to get a pen. Once again,
that's
the number
right.
Was,
that's all right.
Was what?
The number to text is 502-202-202-299-8530.
All right.
8530. And that's
okay.
our national line. So we appreciate
right.
you, my brother. What borough are you calling from?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn.
So yeah, you right on time. I can't wait to get back to Brooklyn and get down there with my brother, Brother Brown, in the True Life Bookstore. Last time I was there, I spent over $200 just in books to support my brother. Just hundreds of dollars in his store. I can't wait to get back in there and support that black business and get back on the ground in Brooklyn, brother. So I really want to hit the ground with you, black man.
All right. That's wonderful.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and I thank you very much, brother. That's all I can say. Black power. That's all we're trying
definitely to appreciate you, brother. Black power. Power to the people. Much love to you. And that's Brooklyn, New York, checking in. OG Comrade checking in, showing his love, showing his support, and we riding with him, and we love him. Let me take your next call. We're talking about 137 bullets into an unarmed black couple. We're talking about Brother Jordan Russell Davis, shot down, 17 years old. He's a young black male that has lost his life. Another one bites the dust because the white man said his music was too loud. Let me take your call. Area code 919-786-919, Jerry code 786. You're on live with Black Power Radio and your host, Brother Sean Saddam Kweli. We lost that call, so I'm moving on to area code 904-554. Area code 904-554. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. What do you think about the loss of life that's happening all across the country? Is it open season on the young black male and female? Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. This is Brother Kojo Corrala down here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Black
hey,
Power,
Brother
Kojo Corrala, Jacksonville. Yeah. How are you, my brother?
I'm all right, brother. Like the brother said, there's nothing new, you know what I'm saying? It's time for us to quit talking about it and be about it. First of all, I'd like to say I've enjoyed about all the brothers that came on, but the only part that some brother said that we should arm up, I agree with that, but hold on, we shouldn't play by the devil's rules now. Where we're at war with this devil and this beast, we should never play by his rules, you know what I'm saying? Because he break his own rules, he break his own laws. The brother was talking about hollow points, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, hell, if he got hollow points, hell, we should get hollow points. Hell, if he get penetrating bullets, hell, we should get penetrating bullets, whatever they call them, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we can't play by his goddamn rules, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, he don't play foul. You know what I'm saying?
That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah,
that perspective is interesting, brother. Because let me ask you this. What do you say to people who present the question to you that you can't outshoot the white man, or you don't have as many weapons that the white man has. You can't take that kind of approach. What do you say to them?
Well, see, the thing about this world right here, he can't come in here and drop bombs on the, you know what I'm saying, and kill every damn body. No, he got to fight this hand-to-hand combat, you know what I'm saying, door-to-door. So with that being said, we should organize, you know what I'm saying, and not talk about it, you know what I'm saying, get these brothers out the churches, get them out the synagogue, get them out the mosque, you know what I'm saying, and be on our post every night, you know what I'm saying, because it never knows when it could be my child or your child. We should be with our children, and wherever it's going down there, it should be a cry, a citywide cry, or a countywide cry, or a statewide cry, so when it's going down, I say, hey, man, you know what I'm saying, let's organize and move to this place right here, because it's going down right here, and everybody should show up at that spot and deal with these goddamn bastards, you know what I'm saying, thoroughly. You know what I'm saying? I know that a lot of us, you know, have become lit professors, but Coach Corral is body. My life and death is for Allah. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to make excuses for me where I can't stand. If a little bitty man from Sandersville, Georgia can stand up to the devil, you know what I'm saying? I have no excuse. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, brother, like I said, we can't fight with the devil's rules. You know what I'm saying? Because, hell, he break God's law. He break his international law, federal law, local law. Hell, he break his own law. So we can't
There's
play
no
by his rules.
It. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The white man has broke every law in the books. Go right ahead with your point.
Yes, sir. So we can't play by his goddamn rules. But what I'm just saying, though, brother, let's quit talking about it. Let's quit, you know, flooding the lines, and let's get out here and be about, you know what I'm saying, helping our people, you know what I'm saying, and saving our youth, you know what I'm saying, because our youth right now under attack, man, and I mean, this ain't nothing new in Jacksonville, you know, shooting unarmed black men. You know what I'm saying? Hell, state of Florida, unarmed black men. This is what they do. This is what they do nationwide. This is what they do worldwide. So let's quit talking about it. We say we G, we gutter, we throw it out. God damn it, let's get up and goddamn, you know, put up a shut up. You know what I'm saying? Sit your ass down if you ain't gonna do nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this, brother Koja, because you raise some good points. Let me ask you this, brother. And what do you say? What are your thoughts on those who say, well, you know, there's always a hoopla that's raised. You know, when it's white on black, but it's not that same kind of hoopla and further when it's black on black. What do you say to that?
Well, brother, we should hold a community trial. You know what I'm saying? And bring this brother in, you know what I'm saying, before he's handed over to the authorities, before the authorities catch him, you know what I'm saying? Hold a trial and say, hey man, you know, let's try this brother and see what did he kill this brother for. Was it good? And 9 times of 10, if it's not, you know what I'm saying, we should deal with this brother thoroughly. We should deal with this sister thoroughly because, you know what I'm saying, all this black-on-black crime, if you can't take that damn gun and use it on this goddamn devil and you're right here shooting your brothers over bullshit, talking about street, and all this shit, when the cracker come around here, you know, you throw away the damn gun. You know what I'm saying? No. I mean, if he's shooting brothers out for what somebody said, and he couldn't approach the man with a straight up fist fight, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he couldn't come to the brother and sit down, man. I mean, brother, like I said, we should hold a community trial, you know what I'm saying, with different people for the jury, you know what I'm saying? We need a judge, we need a prosecutor, you know what I'm saying? We need our own. If we gonna start our own nation, we gotta do that. So with that being said, brother, you know what I'm saying? These brothers has got to be held accountable too, brother. Same thing, you know. And if you could take a life, and it wasn't for a good reason, you know, trying to save one, yours should be taken, you know.
Okay.
Bottom line,
all right.
That's it.
Yes, sir, brother. Black Power. That's brother Koja Corrales out of Jacksonville, Florida, and he is proposing that the black man and black woman arm themselves and take it to the beast and quit talking about it. That's an interesting perspective we're going to have to look at and talk about as we delve further into this program. But Brother Koja, always insightful and always delightful to talk to you, black man.
Yes, sir.
Black Power.
Yes, sir.
Let's move to the next caller here at area code 347-552. Area code 347-552. You're on live with Black Power Radio, your host, Sean Kwali. We're talking about Black Power Alert. 137 bullets fired into a black couple. Talk to us, Black Power. What's your thoughts?
Hey, Black Power, national spokesman. How you doing?
Black Power, fine, ma'am. How you doing?
Can't complain. I'm good. This is Sister Icy Payne from Brooklyn, New York.
Sister Icy Payne. How are you, sister? Go ahead. What's your thoughts?
136 bullets in a human
137.
Being. Like 137 bullets in a human being. That is savage. That's maniac. That's, you know, you can't even fathom what would provoke somebody to do something like that to a human being. They wouldn't shoot an elephant that many times, yet they would shoot our young baby that many times. You know, that's why the Panther Cubs is so important, because we have to also train our babies how to defend themselves. We have to teach our babies self-defense, hand-to-hand combat techniques. We have to, because you know something? I really wish that young man knew that at that time, so he could have grabbed that gun from that damn beast and turned around and shot him instead. Because he had no respect for the young man. He had no respect for his family. How do you even go home and eat and lay down after something like that?
That's an interesting point. What do you say? Now, I know that you are a very spiritual sister, and I'm a spiritual brother. And what do you say to those who, because the argument has come up now that the church has fallen asleep, that the church folks have fallen asleep,
you know,
or just
something?
Spiritual folks have fallen asleep on these issues.
It's
what do you think about that?
It's a very sad issue at hand, but yes, the church has fallen asleep, and it's, well, a building of certain believers has fallen asleep. But those that are the true church, those that are, because he says that he don't dwell in a temple built with men's hands. He dwells in each and every one of us. And it's up to each and every one of us to get out and go forward and move to advance and occupy in whichever capacity that we can. Rosa Parks, all she did was sit down, but she made a statement just by her sitting down. So you might not be that Malcolm X. You might have to be that Rosa Parks. But you got to get in the fight. And this is a fight. And I'm going to tell everybody, I am sick and tired of a lot of my Christian sisters and brothers sticking their head up in the air and acting like they don't see what's going on. Because part of the Great Commission is to go out there and to help those that are lost, those that are hurting. That's what we're called to do. We're called to help those that are hurt, those that are lost, those that are hurting. Our people are hurting. I could imagine how that family must feel right now. And nothing be done to that damn man. That is terrible. That is so terrible for him to get, and you know, and it's like he's getting off. But you know what, too? I don't even just fault the church. I fault all of us. Because you know why? We allow too much to go on.
That's an interesting point. Let me ask you this, Marcia. Do you believe that the government has any responsibility in stopping the violence of the black community? Do you believe that the government has a role in stopping the violence in the black community, or do you believe it's just our responsibility?
Of course the government has a role in it, because it's like a cycle, you know. When you look at the evolution of water, say for example, right? It evolves, right? First it goes up to like a rain cloud, then it comes down, then it gotta evaporate and go back up again. And that's the same way that it is with the government. The government don't provide jobs. The government take jobs. The government don't provide youth programs and community centers that are accessible to everyone to go to. They shut those down. The schools are pitiful. So, you know, what do you leave the children to do? So that right there, by shutting them down and closing everything off, but flooding the community with police officers and prisons and, you know, and courthouses, what you're saying to our babies is, we don't care about you. You're going to do free labor for us. And if you don't do free labor, it's either you want to do free labor or we're going to make money off of killing you. Because to be honest, a lot of these insurance companies, when you do research on these insurance companies, like say, for example, New York Life, you do research on these insurance companies. And these insurance companies make a whole lot of money just from us dying. So their thing is they're profiting off of us. Either by prison or either by death. They're the instigators. They're the bullies in all of this.
All right. Since as always, absolutely insightful and absolutely thought-provoking, we're going to take some of that in stride and weigh some of that. But Sister Icy Pain, thank you so much for your comments. And as always, thank you for tuning in and listening.
No problem. Black Power.
That's Sister I.C. Payne. That's Brooklyn, New York. And our sister makes an interesting point. She says that the government has a role and responsibility in this, but she's also not saying that we don't have a responsibility in this. But the church folks, she's a church woman. She say the church people have fallen asleep on this issue. We can't scapegoat the mosque, those that go to mosque. We can't scapegoat and leave alone those that go to synagogue. The spiritual people have fallen asleep, seems like. Seems like the so-called conscious community, whatever that is, has fallen asleep on these issues. Seems like the Black Power movement, in some regard, has fallen asleep on these issues. What in the hell do we do? What in the hell do we do? Do we do, like Brother Kojo suggested, do we arm ourselves legally, like Brother Shah suggested, arm ourselves legally, form well-regulated militias, and defend ourselves against our attackers, whether they be those organized by the state or just vigilantes in self-defense? Do we defend ourselves against those breaking the law and killing our people? Or do we, what do? That's the question now that we're asking. We're talking 137 bullets between 12 white people and one Hispanic, authorized by the East Cleveland Police Department. We're talking about 8 to 9 shots fired at young Russell Jordan Davis by a white man with a gun. Now, what's interesting, Sister Julianne Malvoa, a sister who I respect, her perspective is she says that more of us die because we kill each other than white people do the killing, except, she say, for war. She say that when whites kill us, it's because of racism and perceptions, often. Why do we kill each other? So, Sister and Dr. Julianne Malvoa, her thoughts is that we're doing the killing to ourselves, that we're doing more of the killing. She say we're doing more of the killing on ourselves, except in war situations, and that, you know, it's us doing it more because we're doing it, but the white people are doing it because of racism and perception. What do you all think about that? Do you all think that we are just killing ourselves because we love to kill? Is the black man and the black woman a bloodthirsty animal? A bloodthirsty animal that has to kill to fix some kind of pulsation or some kind of sensation inside of our being? Are we the savages that they say we are? Are we that? Is it really who we are? Are we kidding ourselves in looking at the histories of black kings and black queens and our institutions and Timbuktu and all of that? Are we the savages? Are we bloodthirsty animals that cannot be redeemed? That's the question that's on the table. Let me take your call here. 845-249. Your area code is 845-249. You're on live with me, Sean Kwali, and Black Power Radio. Your thoughts, your questions, your comments, Black Power.
Black Power, comrade. How you doing, brother?
Black Power.
This is Kel Spaz.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
You know, the young kids nowadays, man, you know, they're being programmed to kill each other. You know, back in the 60s, man, you know, Cobrotel, they designed that. You know, they got the music that they're listening to, TV that they listen to. Everybody wants to be a gangster. So, you know, they selling these drugs, this so-called turfs. You know, it's ridiculous. So the stop it is that we as Black Panther Party, new Black Panther Party, have to hit the streets. Like Brother Shaw, and Sister Icy Chrissy, talking about we're going to be working together here in New York, try to stop that, try to arm our young brothers, you know, that's got clean records, get guns, train them. The original Panther, we used to have patrols in the street, the communities, keep an eye on the police. We got to start doing that. We got to protect our communities and stop it, you know, because they're murdering us throughout the United States of America. They're killing us. One by one. Yeah, we're killing ourselves, but they're killing us too. And we got to stop the violence either way.
That's interesting that you make that point. Now, we heard from our brother earlier who was also in the 60s formation of the Panther. You yourself, I mentioned you, and glad you called in, a 60s Panther, now in the new Black Panther Party. The 60s formation, their landmark case, of course, the little-known case that they did in terms of the stoplight, that was the first thing at the intersection, putting in the stoplight. But the big case was where they moved on a situation with a young man named Denzel Dow. For those that don't know, Brother Denzel Dow, who was shot down by, I believe, the Oakland Police Department. It might have been San Francisco. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It might have been Sacramento, but I believe it was Oakland. But Denzel Dow shot down a young man, and the police had said basically they did no wrong, and that Denzel Dow was running away from them. Sounds familiar. And that they shot him down. And what they later found out, what the Panthers later uncovered, Minister Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, little Bobby Hutton, may God be pleased with him, and the Forte brothers, all that original Panther regiment, what they found out was that Denzel Dow had been in an accident and that he walked with a limp. He couldn't jump over the fence like they claimed that he jumped over the fence, and that the police shot him in cold blood. Brother Ishmael, my question to you, sir, is what happened to that investigative spirit in the Black community, not just within the Black Panther Party or the Panthers, but what happened to that investigative spirit where as soon as you heard something happen to a Black man, a Black woman at the hands of the police, that the community immediately said, let's check it out? What happened to that spirit?
Well, I mean, people got lax. They got the crack cocaine flooding the communities with that. They started giving the churches money, you know, faith-based initiatives, so the churches just don't want to mess with nothing gang, nothing drugs. So they shy away from that. I mean, I'm here in my hometown, man, I'm trying to get the churches back on track. One of my nephews started a church, and that's what we're doing, you know, feeding the people, giving clothes away, you know, the people. You know, so they feel comfortable and come to us. And you know, it's a sad thing. You know, where we got to start watching TV, listening to this music, man, and start doing what God said we should do, is help our brothers and sisters. You know, and that's in the new Black Panther Party. That's what we're starting to do now. We're getting programs together. Sister Chrissy's got the Panther Cubs. You know, our brother Sean and I talked about, you know, getting young brothers, man, to get, you know, security, armed security, start protecting the community. You know, there's a lot of programs that we can get, you know, but, you know, trying to change the mindset of the people. But first they got to turn the TVs off and stop listening to the music, and we can grasp them.
Yes, sir. And so have you ever in your life, now you've seen a lot, have you ever in your life seen the level of killing that's going on in our community? Is this something, just for the younger listeners that are listening in our eyes, is this something that has happened before in our dynamic, or is this something totally new? Has this ever happened before in history, the way we're killing each other?
I mean, you know, as far as us as a people killing each other, that's at a higher rate now. It's always, you know, happened low scale. But now, you know, with these gangs and they put the guns and the drugs in the community, you know, it's all designed. They designed that. That's what the Coke Cartel was doing. You know, they're going to put the drugs, get us all confused, and we're in a confused state now. So we have to re-educate the people, get the people, man, stop thinking like the white man, and start thinking, man, about self, know themselves. A lot of young kids don't even know who Malcolm was, Marcus Garvey. You know, kid told me, I didn't know Malcolm's birthday was May 19th. You know, so we got to re-educate our kids and start young. The Panther Cubs. One idea, get them young. I got grandkids, and my granddaughter told me, her name's Kylie, said that to tell you guys that she's going to follow in her grandfather's footsteps. So she just wanted to let you know that, you know, she's 12 years old, you know, and I educate my grandkids, but kids, period. Kids need to know. So we have to start at home, and then we in the party have to hit the street.
Yes, sir. As always, Brother Ishmael, thank you so much for your comments. You're always on point and always on time. We thank you and support you, and I'm definitely going to link you up with our earlier caller that called from the OG party. You know y'all got the click up, so I'm going to make that happen, Black man.
Oh, yeah, from Brooklyn. Yes, definitely, brother, please.
Yes, sir. We'll make that happen. Thank you so much, Brother Ishmael.
No problem.
That's Ishmael Shabazz, OG member of the Black Panther Party, now ambassador of the Black Panther Party, a new Black Panther Party, and Kingston chairman of the new Black Panther Party. For all the haters, I know you bit the bait, but don't believe the hype. That's family, and we family. We all one party and one Panther. But Denzel Dow, just for the record, for those who may not be familiar with his history, Denzel Dow was killed in North Richmond, California, killed by an officer of the Martinez Sheriff's Department, April 1st, 1967. And this led to a street rally organized by the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, during which the rally, there were 15 armed members of the Black Panther Party that they held a street rally to protest against police brutality. And that was one of the events that helped to establish the Black Panther Party of the 1966 formation under Minister Huey P. Newton and Brother Bobby Seale into the national spotlight. So what we're telling you is that the situation that we're in, the only thing that's changed is the time, the date on the calendar. That's all that's changed. Police brutality was going on in 1967. And here we are in 2012, answering, trying to answer, working on, trying to solve and organize for the same issues that these brothers and these sisters were organizing with during the mid and early, and pardon me, the late 60s. Think about that. We're in 2012, so-called post-racial era. The age of Obama, a black man in the White House, and we are organizing for the same issues that Minister Huey P. Newton and Brother Bobby Seale and little Bobby Hutton and Eldridge Cleaver and all of them, Erica Huggins, John Huggins, Bunchy Carter, Baba Geronimo Pratt, I say all of them, that they were organizing in 1967. Let me take the next call here, area code 562-607. Your area code is 562-607. You're on live with Black Power Radio, your host, Sean Kwali. 137 bullets fired. What do you think about that? Tell us your question, your comment, Black Power.
Power to the people and power to black people, Brother Sean. How are you?
Power to the people, power to black people. I'm doing good.
I'm good. This is Mahogany X Cheryl with Black Riders. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
On my way, I'm moving back home to Florida. I'm an original Floridian, right? But even though I live in Florida, I'm in California right now. I'm moving back home. And with this stand your ground law, when I do get home, like I said last time when I called in last week, I am buying me a gun. And not only am I buying me a gun, I'm going to educate myself on guns. And because just like back in the 60s when they said we have to have our right to arm ourselves, we do. We really do have our right to arm ourselves. And they had to get right until the Mumford Act of the 60s shut it down. Now, how ironic that is that now we need it. Now the white people, now that they're in fear of the black man, now they want to bring the law back into mainstream. You know what I'm saying? Now because they're afraid of the black man, because they know the black man is waking up against this beast and they know their time is up. So now they want to arm themselves. But back
Sister
in the 60s,
Cheryl,
they want to fight because every white person was killing black people.
Let me ask you this, Sister
Everyone.
Cheryl. What is it about? Now, you're from Florida. You're an original Floridian. And a lot of controversy over the last year has come up out of Florida. What is it about this stand your ground law that makes you want to buy a gun and believe that you have to arm yourself?
Because, I mean, if they're using that same stand your ground, basically the law, I look at it like this, because at first my friends were like upset with me because they were like, oh, well, that stand your ground law, They should eliminate that law. And I'm saying, no, you shouldn't. You shouldn't eliminate that law because really, basically, it's saying that you have a right to arm yourself. We have a right to have to bear arms. Basically, that's just a white man saying it in a different way. So the reason why I'm saying that the Stand Your Ground law is good because it's in case I come down, if I go back home and a cracker want to come and fuck with me, I'm ready. I'm ready for his ass. I'm not going to sit up there and disarm myself and let him have a gun and me not. And I'm just going to lay down and let this beast shoot me. I'm going to shoot and bust back on his ass. Straight like that. And I'm serious about this. I'm not playing. I'm not just talking.
Yeah, we love your warrior spirit. Do you think that it's important in specific that the black woman arm herself, or are you saying that black people in general should arm themselves?
Black people in general, but basically mostly with the single black women, because every day I walk down these streets, these damn dirty-ass, funky, stinky-ass white cracker men always coming after me, rolling, you smiling and coming on to me, and I have to check their ass every fucking day. I don't want to fuck with your white ass. You know what I'm saying? And they get a little arrogant with me. You know, I see a lot of arrogance out of white people right now. And when they see a black woman by herself, they get feisty. I see when I walk down the street and I see some white people standing around the corner or standing on one block and it's just me alone walking, they don't want to move out the way. But I don't move out the way. I keep walking. And I don't know, it's just something about their ass. They know the time is up and they want to get bold now. They're getting arrogant. Well, they can push their arrogance on my ass. Let me get back to Florida. Let me let one motherfucker, and I don't give a damn who's listening. COINTELPRO, the motherfucking CIA, all of them can hear this shit. FBI, I don't give a fuck. Any white person, fuck with me when I come back home, their ass is going to be 6 feet underground. Straight like that. I will be educating myself on guns, and I will be shooting one. Let one fuck with
me. We know you certainly.
I don't give a fuck about the police.
Mean what you're saying. Sister Cheryl, now, In Florida, with Stand Your Ground and having to arm ourselves, do you think that this comes from the fact that Obama is in the White House, that President Obama is in the White House? Do you think that this arrogance that the white man and the white woman are projecting comes from President Barack Hussein and Obama being in the White House?
Yes. There's a lot of mad-ass white people out here now because we got a black man in office again for another 4 years. I see it. I work in retail. I'm at the register. I see that they throw the money at me, they roll their eyes and talk, you know what I'm saying, just being arrogant. I walk down the street, I see how they look at me. White people are pissed off, and they're arming themselves. If they, if 20 states were to just, you know, express themselves by the United States just because a black man is president, you know goddamn well they're mad. And not only are they mad, they're arming themselves, and they just walk around shooting people for no reason, black people for no reason. We got a black president, I'm going to kill me a nigger. But all we know, that same man that shot that brother for playing the music too loud, he was probably KKK. And I'll tell you right now, down in Florida, it's a lot of KKK members underground. A lot of them, especially in Orlando. In northern Florida, it's a lot of them. They still burn crosses in Florida, just to let you know. So let me fuck around and go back home, and if I take a trip in a car from Miami to Atlanta and I'm passing through one of the lines and they fuck with me, I'm going to put some red hot lead in their ass. Like that.
Okay. Sister Cheryl, we thank you so much call. Thank you so much for your call, Sister Cheryl. Black Posse is always.
Black people, and I love you, black man. Black unity, black power.
Black power. Love your spirit. Sister Cheryl got the spirit of a Sister Queen Harriet Tubman, or Sister Queen Yah Santiwa, who led from the front, and she letting it be known. If you mess with her, she got some steel for you. That's the spirit. But that's an interesting point that the show brings up, that the arrogance of the cracker, the arrogance of the white man in America, the white man and woman in America has increased. Have you all seen it? Have you all noticed the change, the shift, the universal shift in the paradigm of the white man and white woman in their arrogance and attitude? Has their attitude changed since Barack Hussein Obama became president for a second time? They gave the man a chance in 2008, but is it too much to take now that in 2012 a black man is in the White House for another 4 years? Let me get your thoughts on that. to the show. Thank you for your call. Next caller is area code 919-786. Your area code is 919-786. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're asking for your question or your comment. 137 bullets into an unarmed black couple. Has the white man's arrogance increased since Barack Hussein Obama? Black Power, talk to us.
Black Power, Brother Sean.
Black Power.
Nation. This is Minister Najee Muhammad, the new Black Liberation Militia and the Black
Theology. What's going on, Black man?
Yeah, it's all my family and everybody been calling me from Cleveland and all that stuff. I just left Cleveland about 4 weeks ago. And all I heard and stuff and everybody I see now is finally coming into terms. It's time for a well-relegated militia. That's why we about to do a national press release on the shooting in Cleveland, Ohio, and in the hills of North America. You know, the new Black Liberation Militia will be going into Cleveland. We will organize, mobilize a people militia to stop police brutality and murder of the black nation. We will stop the police in our community and elsewhere of this disrespect of black human life rights of our people and the constitutional rights. And this is what we got to understand. We will strive for the community police review boards with the legal power to seek indictments to punish and discipline rogue police officers, or we will do it ourselves in self-defense.
Let me ask you this. I'm glad I got you on. And this, for those who don't know, this is Minister Najee Muhammad, Prince Najee Shaka Muhammad, who served as our national field marshal, a brother who worked for years in the new Black Panther Party, a man who we love, a man who is a student of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and he has now organized the new Black Liberation Militia. And what's the other piece? The Black Truth, what is it, Institute?
The Black Theology Institute, sir.
Black Theology Institute. This is our brother, and he's organized. And I have to ask you, Minister Najee, why do you feel now that it's necessary to organize a black militia, and would we be within our rights to do it?
Because I just feel that that's how Dr. Khalid and Aaron Michaels led the party. And deep in my heart, I feel a lot of stuff is happening worse now than did. And even the dragging and killing of our brothers. But when I see certain things, elements of certain things, I feel now is the time I would rather put my life on the line to make a difference. If I could get out there like my mentor got out there, I did 2 arm maneuvers with him. I led 5 after his death. But seeing like other stuff had a problem with that, and I said, hell with this. And I said, and study and talk with Brother DeWolverine, the founder of the BLA. And I said, I'm going to resurrect the BLA. But I said, well, this got to be a different term and air. And I said, damn. The Second Amendment says a well-relegated militia and security of the free state and the people has the right to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. I said, damn, we go on a militia, we may be okay or wherever and stuff.
What is the sentiment of the people that are in? I think we may have lost my brother, but Minister Najee, if you can call back in, black man. I got some more questions for you. I'm gonna push forward to the next caller here. The next caller at area code 562-239. 562-239. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Is it open season on the black man and black woman with 137 shots into an unarmed couple? Your thoughts, your questions, your comments, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
This
Black
is Brother,
Power.
Brother Vernon, your West Coast Minister of Culture here on the West Coast.
Welcome,
hey,
Brother Vernon.
Yes, sir, Brother. Brother Sean, a brother, national spokesman, let me get it right. Brother, you know what? Like we discussed last week, Brother, it has always been open season on our people, Brother. This is nothing new, Brother. I mean, you look at the brother that was shot 41 times, the nasty old cracker that shoved the broom in the right man in the brother's rectum, just the rapes and the murders that go on constant with our people. My father was discussing something with me about the early 60s the other day. He said, brother, every weekend it was police shootings and beatings, and nobody was prosecuted, brother. Since we were emancipated and we were no longer property, brother, there has been a green light on us, black man. And you know what? And I'll tell you what I have witnessed in the last 20 years is when we did fall asleep and they were flipping laws about disciplining our children and having, you know, I notice now that the states and the systems is involved in all the families now. You can't even discipline your child anymore. I saw this coming. You know what I mean? They took away the right for you to discipline your sons and daughters, but at the same time they're building prisons. Like brother said earlier, brother, this is all a plan, brother. But it is on us, black man. As the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says in Message to the Black Man, he says that our unity is the only thing that's going to save us. Our unity is as strong as an atomic bomb, brother. And until we seriously unify and get our young and get our old and get our Christians, Muslims, whoever you are, and unify our people like we used to. Because at one time, like you said, brother, if something went down, brother, we rose a voice. We, you know, there was a tension, there was a fire in the community, you know, to stop this. Your brother, your sister, that's no longer. You know what I mean? When you see a brother on national TV and he refers to his brother as a nigga and his woman as a bitch. I saw this madness going on a long time ago. And this condition of the mind today, white supremacy reigns, brother. Nothing has changed, you know, and it's up to us, the party, the Nation of Islam, the Christian church. We are just going to have to plain old unify, and I mean on an extreme level. Black power, brother.
Okay, black power. That's my brother, Brother Vernon, out of the West Coast, Los Angeles chapter of the New Black Panther Party, the regional minister of culture, and he say nothing has changed. Now, that is shocking information for many. For many, that is some shocking information, especially being in the age of Obama, the Obama era, the Obama attitude, and Brother Vernon say nothing has changed. Let me see if I can pull Brother Minister Najee back to finish his point. I'll push forward to the next callers here. This is area code 919-786. I'm thinking this is Brother Minister Najee. Brother Najee, did we lose you, sir?
Yes, Black Power, I'm here, sir.
All right, go right ahead.
Yes, and like what everybody's saying, and I just feel when I see all this going on, all the killing, all the murder in America is like cherry and apple pie. But I say this, in self-defense, as my mentor said, we, as a new black militia and the Black Theology Institute, we teach the young people, teach our people, be nonviolent among each other, love each other, peace among each other. But when it comes to this adversary, this racist boot beast police, we say peace when possible, but violent when necessary in self-defense. And I say as a national commander, in self-defense in this day and time, kill at will in self-defense. No hesitation
yes.
at all. And they can
yes,
see,
sir.
Anthony Weiner 41 times, my mentor, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, he says the time we got to rise up and shoot one of these bastards 41 times, set the foe in the head. And this 137 shots, 130 shots in Captain Johnson in Atlanta, Georgia. And we come there locked and loaded, lined up in the press conference, and Negroes talking about, brother, why the guns? I looked at him, you serious? You got your damn mind. Step away from us, sir. And this is how I roll. I roll
that's
like
the right attitude.
The cradle to the grave.
Yes,
black
sir.
Power.
That's the black power. Brother Minister Najee Muhammad, Commander, National Commander of the New Black Liberation Militia, the New Black Liberation Militia, all right, and support that. I want to say to you on the air, Brother Minister Najee Muhammad, we support you with that, brother. We support you, the New Black Panther Party, for those who think there's some beef, some hate or whatever, that organizations can't get along. No, we support you. I'm telling you, Sean Saddam Kweli supports the New Black Liberation Militia, and all of the students of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We're going to lock.
That's right,
to lock
I
step.
Love turning Malik Dudu Shabazz. I say that in all my openings.
I know that's right.
Every time I say that, wherever we're down, wherever under the ground, I love turning Malik Dudu Shabazz. I never had no beef with turning Malik Shabazz. Okay?
Real
never
talk,
did.
Real
There's
talk.
Certain fields circle around him. I had step away. That's all.
Well, brother, we gonna get you to come on Black Home and just work under the banner of the New Black Liberation Militia. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad talked about an organization of organizations. You know that.
Right.
Where
That's right.
Everybody could work under that banner. And
That's
there's
right.
enough here. There's a big field of our people where all of us can work and get in here and do something for our people. And there's no need for us to be divided. And whatever we can work out, we can work
right.
out. So, man,
and like
you gonna
I said before,
talk. Go ahead.
We have a national training center with a 40-foot tower, obstacle course, all that. My partner, Brother Embry in Atlanta, Georgia. We have that. And we have our own land here now. And we about to get stuff built like that, but then we have to ride to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm telling
That's
you, this is for real.
Me and you going to have to just, we have to talk off of the air. We got to talk
off
of
international,
the air.
Oh, yeah. International, Deputy International Minister, Brother Abdul Musa, Nigeria. And Dr. Khalid's personal friend, our International Ambassador, Dr. Kofi Ansah in Ghana, West Africa. I was on the phone the other night with Jabri and stuff. They were telling me, come on. They got 5 guest houses, all that stuff. Big time.
Well, that's what's up. Keep us informed, Brother Mensah.
Yes,
sir. Got it. Mr. Najee, we got to move on to the next
okay.
caller. But like I said, me and you going to talk off of the air, Black man.
Yes, sir.
And try to just work
and,
some things.
And my number to reach me is 919-786-9800. That's the National Command Center. And we also we
right.
have the selling the command post in this regional command post.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Black man. Black power.
All right, Black power. Peace and love.
Peace and love. That's Minister Najee Muhammad, organizer and national commander of the New Black Liberation Militia. We all family here, and there's enough out here, enough work. The field is big enough where we need everybody to play a specific role, and especially a defense role. The New Black Panther Party National Ministry of Defense stepping up, the Vanguard training, the Vanguard members stepping up, and of course, those like the New Black Liberation Militia stepping up. This cracker is in trouble. This cracker, if we're serious, this cracker is in trouble. Let me take another call here. We're talking about 137 bullets fired into an unarmed black couple in East Cleveland, talking about Brother Jordan Russell Davis killed at the hands of a no-good beast, demon, devil who murdered him in cold blood because he said his music was too damn loud. Let me get your thoughts on it. Your area code now is 219-331, 219-331. And as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad said, if you're scared, move out now. Let me hear you. Talk to us. Black power.
Black power, Black power, Brother Sean. It's your sister Edwina from Indiana.
Black power. How are you, my sister?
Oh, brother, I'm pissed and angry to hear yet another black couple, not black person, a black couple got killed, unarmed.
A black couple.
Taking so much out of me. That law in Florida is just a license to kill for them. White people license to kill for them.
That's what we think it is. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to spread information on this stand your ground. Ever since it came out with Trayvon Martin, and it's now come out again with Brother Jordan Russell Davis and others that don't even make the news, we're trying to spread light. Now, what I want to say before I let you finish with that point is we have to remember Sister Marissa Alexander, for those who are listening to me right now. Remember and Google Sister Marissa Alexander, who was being abused by her mate, her husband, I believe it was. And she fired a weapon in self-defense from an abuse and an attack by her mate and tried to call the stand your ground law into her favor and into question, and they denied her. Nobody injured. Nobody killed. Nobody in the cemetery. But yet, Sister Marissa Alexander couldn't invoke in Florida, stand your ground. But goddamn no good George Zimmerman enacted stand your ground. And this no good demon who killed our young brother down in Florida enacts stand your ground. Go ahead, Sister Edwina.
Yes, that law is not for us. Like you said, I know about the case with Sister Alexander. Clearly her case is a stand your ground case. But the law wasn't made for us. It's giving them a right to kill at will.
What do you think we should do, my sister? What do you think that we should do? You're there in Indiana in some parts, which is a Klan Calvin. Ku Klux Klan, from my understanding, formed and began out of Indiana. What do you think that we should do for ourselves?
Well, I know I got my gun permit. I'm strapped. And I know a lot of states, you know, in Indiana, the state where you can have a permit to carry a weapon. I don't know. It's I'm lost for words.
So you saying what our brother Shah is saying, and you saying what our brother Kojo is saying, and even what our OG Panthers Ishmael, and our other brother out of Brooklyn, saying. You saying same thing that we've been saying: arm yourself or harm yourself, huh?
That's right. That's right. Because if they can say they're threatened, they feel threatened, they can fucking kill us at any time. They're killing our babies. They threaten for hearing music. They're threatened for us looking at them since Obama, me living in Indiana, since Obama got into office. You feel the tension in the workplaces, in the stores, everywhere. You feel the tension coming from white people that you thought wasn't racist, white people that you friends with, that you done sat down with, they changed. I was listening to a radio station a few weeks ago where a sister was married to a white man, but soon as Obama got in office, her whole way, she changed. She did a 360 on him. She changed the way she looked. She changed the way she wanted her daughter to be teached. She catered more to the black culture. And her husband, who was white, called in to B103 because he couldn't understand why his wife changed.
That's deep.
And a lot of people changed. A lot of whites changed since President Obama got in.
Soon as Obama got in. Well, that begs the question. Did they really change, or were they like that all along?
All along. It was hidden.
So,
it was hidden.
that begs that question. But we'll talk about it. Sister Edwina, we thank you for your comments. We thank you for your passion. We can hear it through the radio that you're sincerely concerned. And I also want to thank you for joining and organizing with the new Black Panther Party. You're a new comrade, a new warrior, which means that you're taking up the mantle to push this fight forward and to do something and not just talk about it. So salute to you, sister, and thank you for your efforts.
You're welcome, Brother Sean. Black power.
Black power, black power, and more black power. Sister Adrena, right out of Indiana, telling you that you got to do something. Even if you don't believe in armed self-defense, I got to be holistic with this. Even if you don't believe in armed self-defense, you for darn sure better know how to defend yourself in this hour. Another topic that we got to touch is what to do when stopped by the police. What do you do when your taillight is out? Are you don't yield at the red light fast enough, or, you know, you didn't have your seatbelt on, or you just black and you're driving down the street and the police whip you over. We're going to have to discuss in depth what we can talk about in time on this call, on this radio show, and off of the air in our own cities, what to do when stopped by the local authorities in your neighborhood and in your cities and your towns. This is important because many of these, as in the case with East Cleveland and as in the case of Abner Louima, the man who we were talking about had the stick shoved up his rectum, and, I mean, just other situations. We touched on Oscar Grant These are all situations that are being exacerbated by police agencies and police forces. Even no good George Zimmerman, even him, he was striving to be a Sanford a watchman, neighborhood, a self-appointed neighborhood watchman, and he had tried out for the Sanford Police Department. His parents work right there in the local government, right there in the local authority system, right there with it. He wanted to be a cop. So we're going to have to talk about, in true Panther fashion, what to do when stopped by the police, how you handle yourself, how you conduct yourself, what kind of movements you make, what kind of movements you don't make, how you respond to the question, because the questions, because you got to realize you're dealing with a beast. Let me take another call here. Now, my brother Frank Shaw say we got a guest on that I want to bring in briefly. I want to hear from him and get his perspective. This is a brother who served in the United States Marines, and many of you who go on these websites, you've seen his video that he was a Marine or is a Marine that was barking down and backing down the NYPD right there in Times Square during the whole Occupy Wall Street movement, that whole thing that happened with them white folks. He was there talking about the rights of the American citizens and the rights of the people, and talking about how that the police were supposed to be protecting and serving. And based upon his analysis as a Marine, he said, hell, they ain't protecting and serving. They ain't protecting and serving. So let me bring my brother in here, and let's get his perspective. And let's hear his thoughts on this. 137 bullets into an unarmed black couple in East Cleveland, talking about Jordan Russell Davis shot down by Michael Dunn for playing his music too loud, Trayvon Martin, and on and on and on. Welcome to Black Power Radio, sir. How are you?
How you doing? Peace, Black Power. What's good?
Peace and Black Power. I'm doing good. How you doing? You all right?
I'm doing well. I'm glad I got the opportunity to speak to you guys tonight. This is like a issue that I live with every day. You know, I'm from the streets. I haven't really gotten into the movement too much until recently. But basically, you know, I was in the streets. I joined the gang when I was 15 years old. So I joined the Marines when I was 17. So I kind of got, you know, both, you know, spectrums of life, and actually went to Iraq where I was a trained killer, and we actually had to treat people with respect. And they said that, you know, if we hurt these people, you know, the next time we come, you know, back, they will blow us up, or, you know, we could be hurt. And we have the police in the United States of America, you know, in our neighborhoods hurting people, and nothing's being done about it. Nobody cares about the hearts and minds of the people that are here. So, you know, just my street knowledge and coming out here just gave me a whole perspective on how people live. And I heard a caller before say that, you know, that these laws are not made for us, but we have to, you know, maneuver around them and actually, you know, show our heart and, you know, make it happen for ourselves.
Now let me ask you this: what's your name, sir, so we can know for this guy?
I was so ready to go. I'm sorry, Shamar Thomas. I have a video on YouTube called "One Marine vs. 30 Cops."
Okay, Shamar Thomas, brother and sister, brother Shamar. Welcome to Black Power Radio. Let me ask you this. I got a couple of questions for you. What was it that made you stand up against the NYPD? Now, normally, as a Marine, you know, Marines are pretty much in line with what happens with the establishment. And we, you know, we're new Black Panthers, Black Lashes, and all this type of deal, so we're talking with respect. So I want to know, what was it that made you stand up to the NYPD and say something's wrong?
Well, what actually happened was when I came out of the Marines in 2007, I moved to Brooklyn. I went to St. Francis College in downtown Brooklyn. And just hanging out with my friends, the police would, you know, start harassing us. So I started speaking up for myself, like, yo, what are y'all doing over here? Like, why are y'all harassing us? And I would see how the police would react to me once I started, you know, just explaining to them, like, hey, I've been on 145 combat missions in Iraq. Like, I know what's going on out here. Like, you're not going to come over here and do this to me. So I've literally been doing it for years. And what happened was when I went to Occupy Wall Street, I literally was in a riot in Iraq where the people, you know, the local citizens threw rocks at us. And our commanders was like, listen, if we go over there and hurt these people, you know, we'll be hurt. So to come to New York City and actually see, like, you know, not to say that women are better than men or anything like that, but to actually see women, you know, being hit with rocks or, you know, and people just being hit for not doing anything, I was just like, I felt like somebody had to stand up and say something. And because of my experience with the police, you know, I felt like I was the best person to do it.
Okay, absolutely. Do you feel like with the current climate in New York, with stop and frisk and the way that not only the police but the establishment is being geared towards the people, do you feel like that's wrong, or do you feel like that's just an action of some individual officers?
Well, I feel like the whole establishment is wrong. I feel like the way they police our communities is wrong as a whole. And, you know, but I think it's our fault, too, because, you know, just like you said earlier, how do we deal with people, you know, the police stopping us? I was pulled over yesterday, literally, and I cracked my window when I spoke to the police officer. I cracked my window. He's like, can you roll down your window a little bit more? And I cracked it a little bit more, and I was like, you know, why are you pulling me over? He's like, oh, you ran a red light. I said, I didn't run any red light. He was like, oh, we saw you this, that, and the third, and I was like, so I didn't run a red light. So then he was like, oh, can I ask you for your information, this, that, and the third. His whole demeanor changed once I started questioning him, like, why are you doing this? I feel like a lot of times in our communities, people are so afraid of the police because they can take away your freedom. So it's like when the police officers come, it's like, oh, man, what's going to happen to me? He can do anything to me. And they see that fear. They live off the fear that people give them. They're like, when they pull over a person for a regular traffic stop, it's like, oh, I'm going to get a ticket. So they're always in the mercy of the police officer. So when the police see that somebody's not in their mercy, it totally changes their whole mind frame. Like, wow, this person is not afraid of this badge. And, you know, my people have been oppressed for years, so they're used to that.
Absolutely. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to Brother Shamar Thomas, and you're active in the Marines now, or you're out of the Marines now?
No, I'm out of the Marines. I'm done, man. I'm a civilian.
He's out of the Marines now. Served in the Marines, been over to Iraq, fought in those companies, and now he's come black home and stood up for his people. Do you agree, Brother Shamar, do you agree with the sentiment that has been expressed on the radio show that the people should be arming themselves to protect themselves against the beast, or do you feel like they were off center? How do you feel about that?
I mean, you know what I always go back to is, you know, I tell people that I'm a peaceful person and I live a good life, but I always go back to the Tupac quote that my daddy screamed peace while another man shot him. You understand what I'm saying? So I always tell people to be peaceful people, but I mean, you have to be prepared for ignorance. So I always believe in arming yourselves. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to anybody. You know, you come to my house, it's gonna be a problem. So it's like, you know, I definitely believe in that. Not because I don't believe in peace. It's just because, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, let anybody, you know, not just a white person, anybody, you know, bring harm my way and not do anything about it. So I definitely believe in people on themselves, because there's a lot of crazy people and it doesn't look like guns are going anywhere. So I definitely believe in arming yourselves.
Definitely. Did you experience racism while you were in your company?
I experienced racism in the Marines, but, you know, like I tell people all the time, I had a white Marine get beat up because my actual job that I worked at had a lot of African Americans, and he got beat up because he wouldn't say white power, fuck niggers. And that was crazy to me, but what I tell people, what I learned in the Marines as far as being a black man on the streets, knowing what I know, it was invaluable. So I will never, ever down the Marines, because the way I feel as a black man, you know, we have a lot of these guys in the, you know, in the streets in our communities hitting all women and children. You know, I don't have that problem. So it's like, I don't, you know, the confidence that I feel as handling myself as a man, I learned in the Marines. I learned how to, you know, be combative. So I can never say, oh, I don't like the Marines, you know, this, that, and the third. But there is racism, and that's a part of life. That's what every, you know, there's racism in everything that you do, pretty much.
Absolutely. We're just asking to get clarification, because we don't get a lot of opportunity to talk to men who are actively involved in the Marines or that kind of company. That takes a lot of just soldier to soldier. You know, that takes a lot of strength, a lot of discipline, a lot of maneuvers to qualify. So we're just asking for clarification.
You know, so crazy. The lady that was just speaking was from Indiana, right? And one of the Marines that I was with in Iraq, he was a leader, actually. You know, he was one of the people that was in charge of us. And he told me, he was like, I'm from White County, Indiana, and my father's the man. So when she was talking about Indiana, I was like, yeah, I know about the racism there and, you know, what's going on. And that's why I feel like, you know, veterans stepping up is what we need to do. We need, you know, black people to step up, period, but the veterans have that leg up, because, you know, what I told a lot of cops is, when they used to pull me over before the one Marine verse 30 cops is, you know, how many people have you killed? Like, where have you earned this ego? Where did you learn that, you know, you were better than anybody else on this planet? Like, how did you earn these stripes where you feel like you can treat every human being like, you know, a piece of dog food where you could just, you know, throw it out? So, you know, I've always been able to get into the mind frame of them, and I let them know, like, you know, you're going to have to kill me. You know what I'm saying? That's how I really feel, though, because of what I've been through. I've seen young men, you know, in Iraq that were, you know, white, black, you know, Puerto Rican, Mexican, die in Iraq. And it's like, I see them die at 19 years old. What do I have to fear? And that's what people don't understand. If you're going to die, you're going to die. So you might as well, you know, chuck it up and make it happen for yourself and your people. So that's just how I live my life.
Definitely. And we're talking to Shamar Thomas, Brother Shamar Thomas. How do you feel, sir, that, and this is a political question, how do you feel about the leadership and those, you know, like the Obamas and those who are at the upper echelons of this society who never send their children to war, but they always send the poor children to war? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't necessarily think about it that way, just because I don't really care about anybody who sends, you know, their children to war, because what happens is, I feel like going to war and actually being a part of that, you know, being a part of the military is such an experience that is once in a lifetime that, you know, if you use it the right way, can lead you to a lot of other things. And so, you know, for them not to send their children to war is one thing, but I don't think anybody needs to be in office. I don't think that we have any leadership that we really, you know, the leadership that we really need. So it's not like I'm backing the leadership, but I don't look at anybody any different, because a lot of, I know people whose kids don't have jobs, don't have anything. They're like, yo, I'm not sending my kids to war, and I respect it. So I look at both sides of the fence. I learned so much in the Marines that I can never, ever say I care about anybody joining or not joining, because I know what my capabilities are, and I know that, you know, I can use these capabilities to help my people. So, you know what I'm saying?
I'm with you. I'm with you on helping the people. I say that because, for example, in the British military, it's required. Like, you see Prince Harry and all of them, they have to serve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to serve in order to be, you know, considered a part of that nation. But here in America, the so-called leadership here does not have to send its children. So I ask you, what are your thoughts on with that? We're running short on time here, Brother Shamar. Do you have any closing thoughts here? Any closing thoughts on the issues of police brutality, what black people should do to survive the onslaught against our community, what we can do to unite amongst our people and overthrow our oppressor and the oppressive mindsets?
I'll come at a basic level, just because I'm not the hero, be all, say all kind of person, but, you know, videotape the police and, you know, stand your ground. That's what I say. I know that it's happening in Florida, but, you know, in every struggle and every, you know, kind of oppression, the person that stands up is going to win. So that's what I'm saying. We got to stand up regardless of what happens, and we got to, you know, just make it happen as a people. And videotape the police. I mean, that's about the only evidence that we really have, you know, to do anything. If this whole Trayvon Martin thing was videotaped, you know, if a lot of the incidents that happened were videotaped, it would be totally different. So I just hope that, you know, people, you know, protect themselves, even if it's just audio, just a lot of words, just anything, because we have to figure out a way to defeat the system. And a lot of black people don't want to join the police force, and I understand that, but, I mean, we got to have some people that are out for our best interest. So, you know, I know a lot of people are against that, but I think we need to join the police force as well as far as conscious people because, you know, we could do a lot of this talking, but if we can't be in a position around these people to protect our own people and really have their best interest at heart, who's really going to do it? Like, how are we really going to defeat the system by marching and protesting? That's not enough. We actually have to get people in to these positions that are here to help us. So, you know, I don't know what else to do, honestly, at this point.
No doubt about it. I'd say again to those, I'd say join movements like the New Black Panther Party. Even yourself, you could be in a position like Baba Geronimo Pratt, who came back from the war. Remember him? He came back from the war fighting, and came right back to the soil. Joined in with the Black Panther Party, became the Minister of Defense, and protected them when the police, the early SWAT team, what they call now the SWAT, out of 41st Central. He protected them, taught them how to set up barracks, how to defend themselves from onslaughts, and them brothers and sisters survived. So that could be you, Brother Shamar. That could be you.
I'm all about that. You know, I always ask people for knowledge. Not too many people come and ask me for knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, I'm all about that. I'm all about taking care of my people, man. That's first and foremost. I always tell people, you know, everybody has their game, the government, the entertainment industry, but the black people, we got the streets, so we got to take care of each other. Like, I understand that nobody's going to look out for my best interest, but, you know, my neighbor across the street. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right. I'm going to tell you, you got Brother Shaw's number, right, Brother Frank Shaw?
Of course, without a doubt.
And so link up with Brother Frank Shaw. He's working in our Ministry of Community Programs and Activism. And organize with him. He's listening. He's going to call you. And we're going to pull on you. You take that knowledge that you got from the Marines, and let's organize in our communities because we need that military defense to protect our babies, our elders, our women, our children, and protect ourselves and to politicize even the so-called gangs, the street tribes, and move them in the right direction, brother.
Without a
doubt. We appreciate
you
for your comments, black man. We appreciate you for your time. Thank
you,
Brother Shamar Thompson.
Peace.
Peace and blessings. Brothers and sisters, that's Brother Shamar Thompson. If you have not seen his video, it's circulated on all of them, the YouTubes, the World Stars, all of that. He was staring down and backing down the NYPD, defending the people, defending black people and defending the people. And that takes strength. I'm glad, Brother Shamar, I didn't get the chance to tell you, but I'll tell you when me and you and Shaw talk, I'm glad that you out that Marines. I'm glad you got the training, though. But I'm glad you're out there service. I ain't fighting for no American imperialism. We fighting for freedom, justice, and equality. Brothers and sisters, we're right now at the last few minutes of Black Power Radio. This has been power packed. We just cannot put it all into one show. But we're talking about 137 bullets fired into an unarmed black couple. We're talking about the death of our young brother, Brother Jordan. Brother Jordan, who was killed, Jordan Russell Davis, killed by Michael David Dunn. I will not let you forget that name. Michael David Dunn killed 17-year-old Jordan Russell Davis, just like George Zimmerman killed young 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. I want you all to think about that. Something about that 17, something in the air, and our ancestors letting us know something with these 17-year-olds, that they're vulnerable out here. And hell, we vulnerable out here, those of us that are not prepared. But there are those of us that are out here preparing in a real way to defend ourselves, as you heard, by any means necessary. And as we tell you in regular Panther tradition, that you will not be able to attack an unarmed people. And unarmed people are the victims of every oppressor and every robber. And when we're talking about arms, we're not just talking about physical weaponry. We're talking about arming yourself with knowledge, arming yourself with information. We're talking about arming yourself with proper education, arming yourself with proper political education and proper propaganda and understanding, arming yourself with culture, your history, your herstory, arming yourself with the spirit of your ancestors to fight against wickedness and to fight against brutality and murder, and to fight against suffering and shame and death, and to fight against the things that you know are wrong. Join on to this movement, the New Black Panther Party, the strongest, most uncompromising, bold, revolutionary organization and movement anywhere to be found in the hells and smells of North America. That organization, given to you and crafted to you by the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General, who said his purpose was to give your enemy hell from the cradle to the grave and to raise you up to your divine greatness and destiny. For your questions or comments, you can email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. And for those that can join on with us and help us to fight against this wicked, brute, buckwild police killing our people in the streets, and form the Ministry of Defense, and form black men and women disciplined to defend themselves against any attacker, whether mental, spiritual, or moral, text us at 502-299-8530, 502-299-8530. It's Black Power for Black People. It's all power to the people. And remember this, my people, that if black people are not free, nobody's free. Black Power.
And when we say this, the press calls us racists in reverse. Don't struggle only within the ground rules that the people you're struggling against has laid down. Why, this is insane. But it shows you how they can do. They make the, with skillful manipulating of the press, they're able to make the victim look like the criminal, and the criminal look like the victim. Right now, when in New York, we had a couple cases where police grabbed the brother and beat him unmercifully. But when it comes time for you and me to protect ourselves against lynchers, they tell us to be nonviolent.